ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 15 चैप्टर एंटाइटल द डिसेंडेंट्स ऑफ किंग प्रियव्रत टेक्स्ट 8 तस्य मां गाथां पांडियेवया पुराविदा उपगायन्ति। इट्स प्रोज। माय डियर किंग परीक्षित, दोज हु आर लर्निड स्कॉलर्स इन द हिस्ट्रीज ऑफ द पुराणास eulogize and glorify King Gaya with the following verses. Purport. The historical references to exalted kings serve as a good example for present rulers. Those who are ruling the world at the present moment should take lessons from King Gaya, King Yudhishthira, and King Prithu, and rule the citizens so that they will be happy. Presently, the governments are levying taxes without improving the citizens in any cultural, religious, social, or political way. According to the Vedas, this is not recommended. Hare Krishna. So, before I start, I seek the blessings of all the senior devotees to speak from the subject matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, we were in Vrindavan Yatra when this chapter started, and I was just going behind to see the beginning of the chapter, and it says the glories of the descendants of King Priyavrat, of the descendants, the different people who are there in his lineage. And I was reading the different names. Amazingly, the Vedic scriptures, especially the Srimad Bhagavatam, mentions everything so much in detail about the lineage, the names, so many things. So it says that Bharat Maharaj and many other kings are described here, and the son of Bharat Maharaj was Sumati. Then Sumati's son was Devajita, and then his son was Prameshthi, and his son was Pratiha, and like that his son was Prashtota and Ugata. And Pratiha had two sons again, Aja and Bhuma. And the son of Bhuma was Udgita. And the son of Udgita was Prastava. And the son of Prastava was Vibhu. And his son was Prathusena, whose son was Nakta. And it goes on. There are many more names mentioned over here. And then today's verse, we are going to read about King Gaya. He's also in one of those lineage, and he's supposed to be one of the preliminary expansions of Lord Vishnu. So when I was reading about these sons, different sons which were mentioned, I remembered that how this whole Vedic culture was so wonderful, that all these children were so well trained up. So this is a lineage of all the Kshatriyas who are very well trained up to take care of the whole planet. Some of our devotees, some weeks back, they were visiting the West, and they were mentioning that how in the West it is so difficult actually to train children, although they have all the facilities. But it becomes very difficult to give them a proper cultural training. Like for example, when we were young, if we would do anything wrong, our father was there to correct us, first by telling, and if we would not listen, then there was always the stick or a slap to guide us. And the devotee was saying that in the West, if the children are trained in the schools, that in case if your parent touch you, you just dial a number, whatever it may be, 999 something. And when you dial that number, immediately the police comes and they arrest your parents. So if I told this to our parents, it would be very fearful children, because in such a situation it will be difficult to train children in proper culture, because children are usually naughty. Especially it's very difficult for the Indians who are staying there. One Indian gentleman, he was brought up in the traditional way, where father would give him nice pasting, and then he was thankful that my father corrected me when I was young. But when it came to his children in the West, he could not even touch his child, because his son was a big nuisance and he would be creating havoc in the house, jumping around, breaking things, and the father could not do anything because he can any time just go and dial a number. So then, after frustration for many months, one day the father decided to come to India, and as soon as they got down at the airport, you can imagine what must have happened. He got his quota of whatever is supposed to be getting. He could not dial any numbers. So there is nice training given in the Vedic system, and today's class I would simply like to repeat from other senior Vaishnavas and not mention anything of my own. We would like to discuss on some main principles of Varnashram. So there's a nice verse by in the Bhagavatam, where we had the pastime of Vamanadev speaking to Bali Maharaj. And Bali Maharaj is also a Kshatriya, and he's right now in the position of ruling the whole planet. So Vamanadev comes to ask the land, three steps of land, and Bali Maharaj is telling him that I can give you more than what you want, so why are you asking for less? And so Vamanadev says that Yamanto Visheha Prestas Trilokyam Ajitendriya. That means that even if the three planets, three worlds if I get, but if my senses are not controlled, if I'm not satisfied, then I will never be satisfied by anything if the senses are not controlled. So he says that one who is an owner of the whole three worlds but uncontrolled senses can be very dangerous. So the example is given of Hiranyakashipu and so many other people. I was thinking about myself also, that during Govardhan Puja, there is so much of prasad being made. You have mountains of prasad, and everyone is... I came in and I met some devotees and they were saying, Prabhu, I am so tired. I said, why? Because of eating so much of prasad. And still, I just want to eat more. So he said, someone comes up to me and says, this is Govardhan Mahaprasad. So I eat it. And then another person comes and tells me, Prabhu, this is from Barsana. Okay, for the pleasure of Radharani, I will take that. And someone comes and this is from so-and-so place, Nandagram. So accept that. Actually, uncontrolled senses. And still, after eating so much, the tongue is saying more, 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 but the belly is saying no more. It's full, but there is no satisfaction. Because when the senses are uncontrolled, one cannot become satisfied. Ajitendriya. Hiranyakashipu was an extreme example. He was the owner of actually the whole planet, all three worlds. Ekarat Vishyan Priyan Na Tripyanti Ajitendriya. His indriya were not tripped, they were not satisfied. So the whole Varnashram system is based on sense control and satisfaction. These are the two important underlying principles for Varnashram. So the Kshatriyas in the Varnashram here, Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Shudras. So the Kshatriyas, what do? They serve and they worship the Brahmanas traditionally. Titiksha, Audharya, Brahmanya. And then the Vaishyas, what do? They are Asiktyam. They are attached. They have some faith in the scriptures. But at the same time, they are Atushti. They are not satisfied with whatever amount of money they make. Although they have faith in scriptures, they do not have satisfaction in the sense of earning more and more and more and more. But because they have faith in scriptures, they serve the Brahmanas. So the Kshatriyas are serving the Brahmanas, the Vaishyas are serving the Brahmanas, and naturally the Shudras, they also serve the Brahmanas. So the common principle in the Varnashram system, this all the three classes are serving the Brahmanas. So Srila Prabhupada says that if one develops the qualities of whom he serves. So if we are going to serve our senses which are uncontrolled, then these senses are never satisfied. It is said that there is enough in this world for everyone's need, but there is not enough in this world for one man's greed. So if a person is not satisfied, his senses are uncontrolled, and if we keep serving these senses, then we also develop this quality of dissatisfaction. Whereas if we serve a person, a brahmana who's satisfied, a master who's satisfied, then we also develop the quality of satisfaction. So brahmanas are supposed to be like the barometer of the society of satisfaction. And if a person remains satisfied, then he can benefit in so many ways. And we like to just mention some of them. As a matter of fact, I also became inspired in Krishna consciousness. And I think most of us, by seeing satisfied brahmanas. I was seeing how my counselor and my friends, Gauran Prabhu, they were so happy and satisfied in life. And I felt, wow, this is so nice. Krishna consciousness is so blissful. They're so happy. Everyone else is having so much of money and in the movie world, so much of fame, but they are dissatisfied. But this person, he doesn't have anything and he's satisfied. So, like the devotees were telling me when they had gone to Pune, over there, met Krishnanand Prabhu. And we have, in Kurukshetra, we have Sukhdev Maharaj, there are two people. And they were living over there, and they were very, very studious in the sense, they're very, very well educated. They studied in the West themselves, both of them. And when this devotee met Krishnanand Prabhu, he was going to buy something. And on the bike, he took him, said, okay, let's go. We go and buy vegetables. So he said, but we do not pay money. He said, then how do we buy? Just spread your jhola, because we are supposed to be traditional sadhus, like that. And then he was inspired. He said that these people, they are so well educated, and but they are living a very simple life. They are satisfied with whatever Krishna is giving them. And here we are trying to work so hard, but there is no satisfaction. So, by developing satisfaction, one develops knowledge. And again in this shloka by Vamanadeva, Yadrachya upapannena santushto vartate sukham. He said that when one is satisfied, one's knowledge develops, and when one is dissatisfied, the knowledge extinguishes. And if one develops satisfaction, then Srila Prabhupada's pastime, I would like to connect to this, that how Srila Prabhupada was in complete knowledge, and how this material world is not the right place to live in. It is said that when a person is going back to Vaikuntha or somewhere, higher planets, not the heavenly planets or the spiritual world or the Vaikuntha planets. Then on the way he gets to see all the heavenly planets. And it's like a test for him. He can become attracted to these heavenly pleasures. He may see beauty over there in terms of all facilities, people, strength, so many things. Srila Prabhupada was in Hollywood, you know, this past time. He was walking and there are beautiful, it's almost like heavenly planet, rich people and cars, bungalows, and his servant was walking behind him, and servant was thinking that maybe I joined Krishna consciousness too early. This is nice for me to enjoy. So many wonderful things in life to enjoy. And because Srila Prabhupada was in full knowledge, suddenly he just coughed and he spat on a very beautiful lawn close by, some belgum. And this person looked and he said, oh, he realized actually I am an illusion, but just by serving this person, now I realize that these things are temporary. So person who is in knowledge, who is satisfied, he understands the real nature of this material world, right? But people, most of the people are in illusion in the material world, and that's why we have come here to enjoy. One time Srila Prabhupada found a cockroach in the room. He picked up the cockroach, he opened the window and he said, take this material world and enjoy. And all the devotees are watching. That is how Krishna sent us over here. You know? This whole world is for you. Go and enjoy now. Like that. So, second is, one gets fulfillment. If one is content in his own service, then that same service becomes the reason for his fulfillment. It becomes a kamadhuk, a desire fulfilling cow. Srila Prabhupada said that I was tested twice by Krishna. One time when he took away everything, and second time when he gave me everything. And both the times I was satisfied. Then one becomes peaceful. One may be rich man, could be Bill Gates, could be Indra, could be anyone. But if he is dissatisfied, he may be going around, roaming around the whole world. But one may be very poverish. Just like in our some colleges which are in lower middle class, students may be going over there. They are not very rich people. In Bombay, you get to see all varieties. You get to see the very high class people. You get to see the very poor, and you get to see the middle class, all types of people, all mixed up. So in these colleges, I knew some students. They were not very rich, and they hardly had a very small room. And the whole family, and mother, father, and the brothers, wife, their children, is actually so difficult to even imagine how they would accommodate so many family members in that one small room. And that room is also there because one of the family member is working in some government office, so they have given that one government quarters, and it's like a chawl, and they are staying over there. But they would be very satisfied. I would meet these boys and would be surprised that how they would be so happy. They would be blissful. They would make fun out of misery. That's what I saw. Like one time they invited, because they are poor, they would conduct some programs, Ganesh Utsav and other things like that. And they wanted to invite some big people. But not many big people would be inspired to come to a low class place like that, impoverished place. So they invited some actor, and or at least they advertised like that. And all the local people in that area, hearing the name of that actor, they all came. Oh, so today in our colony, so and so actor is coming. And this actor was not coming actually, somehow. So one of these boys, whom I knew, he was a very good mimic. So they all created a crowd. And he mimicked this actor's voice. That I'm very thankful and I've come here and everything is very nice. And thank you very much for inviting me. And saying like this. And then these were the organizers. And after this, and immediately everyone was saying, where is the actor? Everyone was rushing to see the actor. Where is he? I want to see. He just came, he spoke, he sat in the car and he's gone now. Where were you? Like that. And they make a fun. You know, they make food. They enjoy life like that. They were satisfied. Although they do not have much. So, one becomes peaceful. Even if he's poor, he can get good sleep. And he can rest. And one may have a lot of money, but he may not be peaceful. So, Srila Prabhupada was so kind and so satisfied. He made at Hare Krishna land, Mr. Sethi was there who made this, helped make the rooms for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna is making rooms for you in Vaikuntha. And after Prabhupada's quarters was ready, Prabhupada invited him that come and see, you like this place? He said, yes, I like your quarters very much. He said, then why don't you come and stay with me? Prabhupada actually invited him to come and stay with him. So Prabhupada was very satisfied and happy in sharing it with others. Then one becomes happy. If one accepts whatever is coming in life as destiny, then one becomes happy. And one gets liberation ultimately by accepting whatever comes in life. So like that, these are some points by which we can understand that satisfaction is so important. And the ill effects, which are almost the opposite of it, by knowledge, the ill effect is illusion. If one tries to satisfy one's desires, one's senses, then the ill effect is one falls in illusion. And the example is Pingala, the prostitute. Fulfillment. One may be fulfilled by not trying to satisfy one's desire, but otherwise one gets unfulfilled. His desires are unfulfilled. So Pingala was trying to satisfy her lusty desires, but she was not getting any fulfillment. And distress. By satisfaction one is happy, but otherwise one is distressed. She was very much in distress and fear of death. So like that, Lord Krishna also says that those who are satisfied, those brahmanas, I offer my obeisances at their feet again and again. Because satisfied devotees, satisfied brahmanas can inspire so many people and do so much of welfare work. So real satisfaction is perfection, and fulfilling one's lusty desires are actually infection. So these are some points which I wanted to share, which were spoken by some senior devotees. And today is also Gopashtami, and some other important days, Goshtashtami, Srinivas Acharya's Disappearance Day of Sripad Srinivas Acharya. And in Gopashtami, you know, we are just coming back from Vrindavan. Lord Krishna, when he was young, and he was given charge of cows from calves, that is a day celebrated as Gopashtami. There is a very wonderful pastime of how he wanted to have shoes for all his cows. There was one serial on TV called as The Rich and the Famous, where all the rich people were shown and how they had different likings. Some had pets which were horses, the most rare birds, dogs. Krishna also has pets, but he doesn't have few. He has 9 lakhs of them. He had 9 lakh cows which are his pets, and he wanted shoes for them. So this particular pastime is there on Gopashtami. Krishna, he likes the cows so much that he would actually call the cows by playing his flute And when he would play his flute, every cow could hear her name. And it is said that he is a counter bead, just like we have counter for our beads. And he counts those cows, the proper system. And every cow with different color has a group. There may be cows in brown color group, there are cows in black color, and they have group, and they have leaders, group leaders. It's almost like how we go in yatras and we have something like that. So they have group leaders. Yeah, walkie-talkie. He plays his flute. And Krishna plays his flute, and the group leader actually comes in the front for giving his presentee. So the first cow comes, and then Krishna nods on his nose. Okay, you are present. Go ahead. And then he pulls down his counter, and then the other group leader comes like that. So he counts the cows like that. And Krishna, when he was young, he actually showed that how I am actually a follower of the cows by hanging on the tails of the calves, and they would become frightened and start running. Therefore, one of his name is Ghasidaram. he would be taken along by the cows like that. And also when Puthana was killed, his mother and all the other gopis, they brought all the cow products. Many of our devotees use so many cow products. But during Krishna's time, all these cow products were brought, and they took the cow's tail and went around circling around him to protect him. Then they took cow urine and cow dung and made tilak on all over his body. Some devotee was telling me that in the West, they have cow killing so much and doing so many things, trying to find out different uses of cow products. But they are not yet able to find out what can be the use for cow dung. Whereas in India, it is such a tradition that cow dung is a very common thing, how to use it. We use it as cow soap, we use it as so many things, cow tooth powder. So, like that. And then also a very significant thing for devotees that Indra, he offended all the devotees of Lord Krishna. But when he took shelter of Surabhi, who was a cow, Krishna can tolerate all offenses to himself, but not to his devotees. And we see, because Surabhi was there, he forgave Indra. Also, Krishna himself became cow. In the Brahma Vimohan Leela, he became cow and calves. He disguised. One time, one devotee told Srila Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, for us, you are just like a cow. We simply go on milking you again and again. But I do not understand. Your milk never ends." Prabhupada said, "I am a Surabhi cow." So, Krishna, he has a lot of liking for the cows. And even when this whole earth planet was in a big problem, the Mother Earth appeared as a cow and approached Krishna. And he became very compassionate and appeared over here. And about Srinivas Acharya ji, recently in Vrindavan, visited his samadhi over there and prayed. He was one of the prominent members of the first book distribution party, and he preached to the king of the thieves, King Birambir, who stole all the books, and he preached to him and made him a devotee. And I pray at his lotus feet that I can also get some taste for reading these books which are mentioned by the Acharyas. So I would like to end over here if there are any doubts or any questions.
Just one small point about satisfaction. Actually, I also make the same points which you all made, but when I was hearing, it's become more critical. So I was just like to add up. Whatever points were made were very relevant, and all the devotees made it. But especially we give sometimes examples of that, how those who are not so much economically strong, they can sleep, they are satisfied. And that's a fact. But still, there is more to spiritual satisfaction in the sense that those who are economically weak are satisfied, but if they get the opportunity to become economically stronger, they will grab it. But those who are spiritually satisfied, they are satisfied, and even if they get anything else in this world, they will not take it and just remain satisfied. So that's the thing.
Madan Gopal Prabhu has made a very nice point that economically one may be weak and he may seem to be satisfied for some time, but unless and until he has a spiritual understanding, then he cannot get real satisfaction. Yeah, that's true. Thank you very much for your comment. Yes, Krishnam Prabhu has a question.
Very nice point you made about how Indira brought Surabhi before Krishna, and so from this pastime makes one feel that this could be a very easy way to get over committing offenses to devotees. Just approach the Lord with a cow. But would that be also a bona fide way? Because normally what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us is we have to approach the devotee in order to beg for forgiveness and take his dust, like Sachi Mata.
Excuse me,
Sachi Mata for Advaita Acharya, how right. She had to take his dust, then only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave her his mercy. Yeah. So it's a little bit confusing as to whether both are bona fide or...
I would have to tie a cow outside the temple because I commit so many offenses. But I heard that even before Indra approached Surabhi, he approached his spiritual master, Brahmaji. And then Brahmaji guided him that now you approach Surabhi. So under the guidance of his spiritual master, he was able to actually get rid of his offenses. So at any level of Krishna consciousness, one has to be always under superior guidance. One cannot just take advantage that, okay, just... And Indra genuinely was repentant. It was not that he was just, you know, okay, I have committed offenses, now let me take shelter of Surabhi and get rid of my... just to save myself. He was very much, very, very... from heart, he was really repentant that Krishna is a person, he could understand that, surely. Right? So that's one. Is that okay, Prabhu? Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.